Hey everybody, I am so glad that you have chosen to worship here today as we gather to honor our Lord. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you our speaker today. He is none other than Daryl Jones, who is now serving as our Highlands Campus pastor. Would you give a wonderful New Life welcome to Daryl as he comes to the stage?
Hello, New Life, and I am just thrilled to be with you tonight. It's been a few months since I preached, and so I'm glad to be back with you. My wife and I served together, helped plant a couple churches. The last one, we stayed there 30 years, and so it was a good ride and got a lot of preaching in then. But it's been since last July. And so here I am with you. I told someone earlier it's like a first date jitters, you know? But I'm really glad to be with you. Pastor Joe is spending some time with his family. And I don't know if you saw the Facebook. They were doing some snorkeling. And so I just wanted to pray for them right now. It's really important that we pray for the pastors when they're on vacation or spending some time with family, and so let's just pray for them. And God, we lift up Pastor Joe and the family. They get to spend some time together, and God, to relax, and to Father, the ministry that they have been so committed to is flourishing, and I know that it's exhausting as well. God, I'm going to pray for them that they are refreshed. And as they come back ready for the Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, God, how exciting that is for a pastor and his family. And so, God, just be with them and everybody else. I know there's a lot of staff that's on vacation. Just be with them so that they can enjoy and relax and be refreshed and ready to go again. We're going to thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Palm Sunday, one of my favorite Sundays. And so when Pastor Joe asked me if I would preach on that, I said, I think I would love to do that. But I want to remind you that this Palm Sunday means that Easter Sunday is coming next week. You have a Saturday night here next week, two of them, okay? We have 11 services all together. But you need to take one of these cards and remember, okay, just to invite somebody. How many got their little flyers in the mail this week? Did y'all get them? 80,000 of them went out, okay? 80,000. And so it's exciting that 80,000 people have been invited. And so you might want to scooch in, you know, next week when y'all get here and get ready so they can hear the gospel message. But take one of these with you, and you have neighbors who received something in the mail, but if you follow up and invite them as well, I believe that the best way to get someone to come to hear the gospel is for you to be the inviter. So take one of those with you and invite somebody. I think they're probably just waiting to hear from you, and so just do that. We are going to stand as we read the scripture tonight, today, all of the above, and so join with me. Comes from Luke chapter 19, 28 through 40. After Jesus has said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead and went and found it just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' Well, they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw the cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down by the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices and all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Father, this is your word for us. And to God, tonight as we take a look at it, I'm going to pray that you align our hearts with you, and God, that you would speak to us through your word, and that God, that you'd be glorified. God, I'd be invisible, but God, that you'd be glorified, and each one of us, God, would align ourselves with you, and God, that we would bring praise to Jesus. So we don't want the rocks to have to cry out. We want to praise him, not only in our hearts, but with our voices, God. We're going to thank you in Jesus' name. And amen, and you could be seated. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I mean, think about it. I mean, this is the same path that the priest would bring in the lamb 4 days before Passover. They would bring that little lamb inside to watch it for 4 days. Then they would decide, is this spotless? Is it perfect? Then it's ready for the sacrifice. These are the people ready for Jesus to come in. That's what's going on here. And I would have loved to have been there waving the palm branches, witnessing prophecy fulfilled. Prophecy. This had been prophesied years before, fulfilled as they were there. But here's what happened. On Palm Sunday, the crowd laid the palm branches down. They put their coats, they took the cloaks off, and they laid them in front of the little donkey colt as he came in with Jesus riding it. But just 4 days later, I mean, they're shouting Hosanna, and Hosanna means save us, okay? So, but 4 days later, after Sunday, comes Friday, and these same people who have laid their cloaks down on the ground, the same people who have waved the palm branches are now saying, crucify him, crucify him. So how in the world did they get from Sunday when they're laying their cloaks down, and now the cloak that's on the ground is not theirs any longer, but it's Jesus's. And if you'll remember in Psalm 22, it was prophesied that they would gamble for Jesus's clothes. Here's Jesus's cloak on the ground now, and these people are yelling, crucify him. How do they get to where they're changing allegiances so quickly? We take a look at Judas. I mean, we're going into Holy Week, and I love Holy Week, and we're going to read about Judas. He's going to actually betray Jesus Christ. He was picked out by Jesus. He was one of the 12, and now he's going to betray Jesus. How did Judas get there for 30 pieces of silver or $18,000 or $20,000? That's about what it was worth, $18,000 to $20,000, about the cost of a used car. That one of the disciples of Jesus, one of the ones that was picked out by him, is going to trade his allegiance to Jesus for a used car. And we think, how could somebody do that? The crowd, just 4 days later, are rejecting him. But the truth be told, you and I do the same thing, don't we? You and I do the same thing. We come in on Sunday morning and our allegiance is to Jesus. We are pumped up about Jesus, right? And we change allegiances by the end of the week. I mean, we get so used to changing allegiances. We talk about allegiance to our to a restaurant or to vacation spots or to some kind of automobile. My grandfather had his allegiance to Ford. Everything in my grandfather's house and his garage was Ford, okay? And so today, though, we're not like that. I mean, we're not we don't have allegiance to anything like that. We just want the very best value. But these people change their allegiance, and I think that you and I do too. We come in on Sunday morning, we praise, and we're pumped up and filled up and ready to go. And by Friday, we're starting to change our allegiance back to the world. Am I the only one? Do you ever get there? To where you're so excited about being sharpened, you know, iron sharpens iron, we're around people, but man, when I'm away from them, next thing you know, and I'm starting to slide off a little bit to the world. Israel was so excited because they had thought that Jesus was coming as a military king. They were pumped, okay? They thought they were going to take over, okay? They had seen his miracles. They seen him feed 5,000 people, and so they knew that he had the power, and he was just kind and gentle, and they loved being around him. The people loved being around Jesus, and they thought, this is the man. This is going to be the man like David. We're so excited that we're going to have a military leader, but Jesus came differently, not on a war horse. He comes in on the colt of a donkey. Jesus comes differently, not to conquer, but he comes in peace. Jesus comes differently, not in pride, but Jesus Christ comes in humility, not to establish an earthly kingdom, but he came to bring salvation. And it was prophesied by Zechariah 500 years before. Listen to what Zechariah wrote. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. And so if the people had been in the scriptures, if the people had been listening to God, they wouldn't have missed it. But these people, they missed it. They missed it. They were looking for the conqueror to come in, and God is sending them a conqueror for salvation, for sin. This morning, I want to give you four challenges. I'm going to give you four challenges to, number one, pledge your praise and your allegiance to Jesus alone. Pledge your praise and your allegiance to Jesus alone. No matter how your life is going, no matter what is going on in your life, if it's good or bad, you and I need to pledge our allegiance to Jesus alone. Some of you, some of us, are looking, and I can get there just as easy as you can. I'm a TV news junkie as well. But some of us are looking for a politician, okay, to come save us. We think if we have the right political leader, if we can just get him the right person in the White House, that everything's gonna be all right. No one here is like me. I get that. We do, don't we? We think if I just had them in the White House. I did a series on Jesus for president a few years ago, and he would have made a great president. All right. But if we could get the right person in the White House, everything would be okay. That's exactly what these people were doing. They were shouting out, Hosanna, save us, okay? But Jesus, he is worthy of our praise, and he did not come to relieve them from Rome. He came to relieve them from sin. He is worthy of our praise because, number one, he is the Lion of Judah, who triumphed. This is found in Revelation 5, verses 5 through 9, that Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah who triumphed. He is the Lamb who was slain. With his blood, he purchased people from every tribe, language, and nation, and that is why John told us in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ was the slain Lamb who could open up the seals. It was Jesus. You and I need to praise him. This king is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our allegiance, him and him alone. So I challenge you, pledge your praise and your allegiance to Jesus alone. And number two, seek out the fulfillments of Christ. Seek him out. There's like 300 prophecies about about Jesus coming through the Old Testament prophecies. 300 of them. He would be born in Nazareth, or he would, from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, called out of Egypt and riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, or some of them. We heard for years that because it said that Jesus was out of Nazareth, that he was born in Bethlehem, that he was out of Egypt, that something was like wrong with that. But he came from Nazareth, his parents did. He was born in Bethlehem, and he came out of Egypt. All those prophecies were fulfilled, and over 300 of them, messianic prophecies, were fulfilled from the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. Years ago, when people would come into my office, I always felt that I had the gift of evangelism, and so I enjoyed leading people to Christ. And so our friends would set up appointments for us and send them into my office so that I could talk with their friends. And so I didn't mind that at all. So they would send them over. And so I would sit down with them and find out, do you have any kind of faith? Where are you at in faith? Tell me about your faith. Or just explain to me what you think faith is. And so I'd ask them, once they couldn't quite grasp it, I said, do you think that I can pick up the desk that I'm sitting at? And some of them would look at it and say, well, you're the pastor, and you're probably, you might be able to pick that up. And so I would reach under the desk and I would pick it up off of the floor, and they go, well, I didn't think you could. And I said, it was a real light desk. And so I said, yeah, I can do that. I said, but tell me what kind of car you drove. So they'd tell me what kind of car they drove, and I said, so if I told you that we're gonna walk outside in the parking lot and I'm gonna pick your car up over my head, what would you say? I know for sure, Pastor, you can't do that. I say, I understand. And so we walked out into the parking lot and I picked up that car up over my head. What would you say then? That's unbelievable. Exactly. And we had this food pantry truck. We had a food pantry at our church, and we would send out the big box truck every day to Walmart and to all the grocery stores, would pick up the extra food that they had and would bring it back to our food pantry. And so I said, we had that big food pantry truck. You saw it when you came in? We did. And if I told you I was going to pick that up over my head, what would you say? There's no way. And I walked down to the basement where our food pantry is, and I picked that thing up over my head. They said that would be supernatural. And I agree with you. There's no way that a man could do it. I would agree with you. And so here's what we're going to do. At 5 o'clock p.m., I'm going to be in the Walmart parking lot. And there's a Walmart truck, and it's full of bricks. I'm going to lift that over my head. And I want to hear, what are you going to do? Number one, I never had anybody told me they wouldn't. I would be there to watch. I knew that. I would be there to watch. Why is that? Because I saw you lift up the car, and I saw you lift up the truck, and I think you're going to do it. And I said, that's crazy. I go, what else are you going to do? I'd probably bring a friend with me. Maybe my family, because it's unbelievable. This is supernatural, Pastor. There's no way someone could do that. I'm with you. What else would you do? I would probably call TV2 News, okay? Because you're not going to believe this. This guy's going to do it. And I look at him and I say, that, my friend, is called faith. That's faith, that you believe I'm going to do it. And why you believe I'm going to do it? Because you saw me lift the desk, you saw me lift the car, you saw me lift the truck, and now you believe that I'm going to lift the semi full of bricks. That's faith. That's the faith that God wants to give us. He said he gave us prophecies. He said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. 300 times messianic prophecies to the Old Testament. I'm going to do every one of those. And if I do every one of those, you can know for sure that I'm going to come back for you. He told us he was going to the cross. He told us that he was going to rise again. He told us that he's coming back for us. How many believe it? Seriously, how many believe he's coming back for you? And if you don't believe he's coming back for you right now, we need to sit down and talk. He's coming, okay? I think soon, and that would be so awesome. But I look at these messianic prophecies, and I want to challenge you. Google them. You don't need a commentary anymore. Google them. They will come up, and they'll 300 messianic prophecies about Jesus Christ. Start studying them out. And what's going to happen? Your faith is going to grow, because I see that. And he kept his word on that. And he kept his word on that. And so I'm going to challenge you to start looking up those messianic prophecies. When Jesus asks you to do something, I mean, here's what's going on. These young men who are sitting out here, and Jesus says, I want you to go get the colt. I want you to go in and get it. And they said, well, Jesus, if you ask us to go get that colt, I mean, and somebody said, that's our colt. I mean, what are we supposed to say? Just tell them the Lord needs that. Don't you love that? I mean, if someone had come up to me in the parking lot today and said, hey, we came to take your car. And I said, it's my car. And they said, yeah, but the Lord needs it, you know, or John needs it. And I'm still probably not going to give him the keys, right? They go in and get the colt of a donkey. It was prophesied 500 years before it happened. I think it's crazy. Can you imagine? I hope they're saved. And I hope they're sitting in heaven saying, we're the ones, right? We got to do that. That'd be awesome. To know that God used me and he told me to do something and I did it. I helped the prophecy be fulfilled. That to me would be awesome. And we become a yes man, yes woman to Jesus when we start doing what he called us to do. Even if it sounds weird. Pastor Joe preaches great sermons. I mean, seriously, great sermons. And then he challenges us. And that's one of the reasons we picked New Life. We love the sermons. I found them online before we even got to Bella Vista, okay? We've been here since September. We found him online. And so we said, that's the church we're going to go to. Because I wanted someone who's going to preach the very word of God and be honest with us. Amen? Amen? Yeah, let's let Joe know. Amen. Yeah, he does a great job in that. When he preaches something that sounds so odd to you, I challenge you, if it's in the Word of God, do it. Just do it. And when you become a yes person to Jesus because you're doing what the Word of God said, I promise that you're going to be walking with him so much closer and your relationship with him is going to be so awesome because you're doing the very thing the Word of God said. Check it out. Make sure that he's preaching the truth, but I believe he is. And just follow what the word says. Becoming a yes person for God is awesome. Now I'm going to say it again. Becoming a yes person for God, when you get to be used by God for doing something that sounds a little bit weird, all of a sudden you're going to say, wow, that was awesome. Years ago, my wife and I got the chance to work up north. Helped plant a church in the Chicago area. We were there, and on a Sunday morning, a couple stopped by, two couples actually, older, and older than I was then, back when I was 30 years old. And so they stopped by, and they said, hey, we do restaurants, so we can't come on Sunday mornings. This is just a fluke that we're here, and we would love you to come on Thursday nights and preach for us, and we want to do music, and we just want to worship God. We'll do communion together Thursday night at our house. And so I asked the other pastor, I said, would that be okay if I go? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. And so I would go over there on Thursday nights, and we would have church. And so I loved it. It's about 20 miles away from where we were at. And so we would get there and do church, and then they started saying, well, because you're doing this, we want to tithe to you. And I said, tithe belongs to the Lord. And they were cash givers because they were restaurant people. I said, put it in an envelope. We'll seal it up, and I'll get it to where it needs to go. I just don't want anything to do with money, okay? They said, all right. And so they would seal the money up. I drive home one night. My wife and two kids are there at the house. And I drive into the driveway, and the Holy Spirit nudge. I don't know if you know what a Holy Spirit nudge is. It's when God is like pushing you to do something. Holy Spirit nudge was to back out of the driveway and go to Helen and Robert's house. It's a little after 9 o'clock at night. And we had baptized them that week. And so she was a single mom. He was a big boy, about 18 years old, just a big boy. And so I would go to the apartment complex and because I didn't want to go in the house because I know if I go in the house, I'm probably not going to do what God called me to do. I'll talk myself out of it. And so I drive out of the driveway, go to the apartment complex. They lived in a housing apartment. So I can't get in the front door because it's locked. I thought, okay, God, what am I going to do? And so because they didn't have any doorbells or ring or anything, the building was older. So I saw fire escape on the back of the building when I drove in. And so I drive around the back of it, and there's a fire escape. And they're on the second floor, and I see a light on, and I thought the kitchen. So I climbed at the fire escape, go to the door, and I knock on the door. She turns around and says, I can't believe you're here. And I said, okay. And she opened up the door, and she introduced me to the man who was sitting at the table. And she goes, I was just telling him about you. And I said, that's cool. I said, I'm supposed to give you this. So I gave her the envelope, and I said, good night. And I said, I got to go. And I walked out the door, and the Holy Spirit's hug, the nudge, I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit wraps his arm around you to say, that's what I'm talking about. And it's like Lay's potato chips. You won't just eat one. You won't just do it one time. You're going to do it again. Because I'm telling you, when you walk with God, you're going to go, ah, that was awesome. Next day, I get a phone call. I went home and told my wife about that night. I said, I just dropped it off at Helen's. I don't know why. And so the next day, I get a phone call, and she's crying. She goes, how'd you know? I said, how'd I know what? She goes, how do you know how much we needed? And I said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. She said, that was the landlord, and he had come there to tell us that we had to get out because we were so far behind rent that we had to get out. And she goes, and we open up the envelope, and it's the exact amount of money he just told us that we had to have. How did you know? And I tell you, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't know. God knew. And I told Helen, I said, God knew, and I didn't know, and I can't take credit for it, but God loves you, and he knows you. But when we do the very things, when it sounds crazy, I'm talking sounds crazy, it may be, open up your mouth to your neighbor to invite them. Like, I've been thinking about my neighbor, and I see them out in the yard. Take the little invitation over and say, if you need someone to sit with at Easter, we would love to have you. I'm telling you, if you just be a yes person to God, you will start seeing his work. When you obey God, even when it seems crazy, you'll see his hand at work. Number three, recognize your daily need of Jesus. Daily need of Jesus. Why every day? I don't know about you. I leak. Do you leak? Every day I wake up in the morning. The first thing I say before I get out of bed is I'm laying there in bed, okay? And now things are a little bit different. We're using that tape over your mouth. And so, man, I sleep so much better. But and so everything is different, but I can't talk to God, you know, folk. So I just lay there and say, God, would you please fill me with your Holy Spirit before I get out of bed? I'm going to say that one more time. Before I get out of bed, I ask God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit before I get out of bed? Now, why would I do that? I'm going to read a passage to you. He says this in Luke. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We're supposed to ask him. And I thought, why wouldn't I ask him daily then if he's going to fill me up? He goes, I want to give the Holy Spirit to you daily. I'm going to ask him daily, fill me back up, because even in my dreams, I leak. There'll be sometimes I wake up and I'm thinking, what was I dreaming about? How'd that get in there? Fill me up, God, because I want you to guide me through my week. I want you to help navigate all the noise in my world that comes in from the left, that comes in from the right. I want you to help me navigate that. God, help me stay faithful in praising you as King. And help me stop thinking that some political movement will usher in peace, because it's not going to, as much as I want it to. Help me to realize, God, that some political person or some political power, that's what these people were thinking. If we just had the right politician or the right leader and we would come in and conquer, everything would be great again. No, it's not. Jesus Christ wants to be the king. If you go back to King Saul, God said, hey, they want a king? I'm going to give him a king. Right? I want Jesus as my king. I want Jesus as my king. And he said, I need to be asking God, fill me up with the Holy Spirit and let me follow Jesus to be my king. I need to be a good citizen. I need to vote when I can. Yes, I do. But if you're trying to make King Jesus into what you want instead of what he came for, you're probably entering the same position they are, and by Friday you're going to be crying, crucify him as well. We cannot change Jesus for who he was or is. We can have opinions. Opinions are great. I always say that everybody has opinions. They're like socks, that we all have a couple pair and most of them stink, right? Opinions are great. we can have them, okay? But if you're wanting, if you're valuing your rightness over his righteousness or your personal righteousness, okay, in Christ, you're missing the point. If you are trying to be so right all the time, okay, to prove everybody else wrong, Pastor Joe preached a great sermon about telling the truth in love. If we are trying to prove everybody wrong, okay, all the time, instead of Jesus right and his righteousness, then we are missing the point. If the people who are waving the palm branches had spent time in a quiet place, if they had spent time, I think they would have known God. I really do. But they missed who he was. Jesus wasn't coming to take over the world, but he came to lay his life down for you and I. A new life is calling us to a deeper relationship with Jesus. And here's the way we get that. We gather here. I love the fact that you guys are gathering here on a Saturday night, and you guys are moving to quickly to a Thursday night, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I think it's going to be great because there's campers and there's sports people who are going to be coming in on Thursday nights that probably never came before because you have a Thursday night. I think it's going to be awesome, and so I'm excited about that. But we come in and we gather together. We gather together. We come in and worship together. If you're just coming in to, you know, to sit, okay, and not worship, I'm going to challenge you to start worshiping. A few minutes ago, I sit right over there, and even with the speaker here, I could hear y'all sing. That was awesome, okay? I hate going into congregation where I can't hear anybody sing. You guys were singing, and that was good. But we gather in, and we pray, and we enjoy the fellowship. And yes, you know, Sunday mornings you get donuts, and which is sweet too. I get that. I love eating the donuts. But we gather in together for a deeper relationship with God, and then we grow. We are growing in the Lord, and that happens in our life groups. It happens in the Bible studies. It happens in the time that we get together in growing and opening up the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God on a daily basis, I challenge you to get in the Word of God on a daily basis. If you want to know what I use, stop me afterwards. I would love to tell you the app that I use to grow. And I've been in ministry for, 40 years. And it's really causing me to grow and remember things that I'd forgot. Awesome app. I would share it with you if you ask me. And then we go. And if you know, we want to go. We want to share the gospel message. If you get all this information in, okay, and you don't have an outlet for it, you become a cesspool, okay? That you become damaged to the church because all of a sudden everything starts rotten with inside of you. You've got to let it out, okay? And so when we come in, we gather and we grow and then we go, we start sharing the good news to people and loving on people and doing the things that God's called us to do. I love the fact that God called us to go. Number four, we need to release the power of praise where God has you planted. The crowd began joyfully praising God in loud voices, and the Pharisees said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke them. Shut them up. And Jesus replied, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. These people were throwing their cloaks down. They were oppressed. I mean, they had no weapons, no power, probably poor. And they were crying out for Jesus to come and save them. Hosanna. And everything was changing. The whole city was all stirred up. And Jesus, the rock, Jesus the rock. I believe that Jesus the rock, when Moses actually tapped the rock and water started coming out of the rock back with Moses, I think Jesus the rock, okay? He is the rock. He's the rock that when Peter said, you know, that you are the Christ, okay? And Jesus says, that's the rock that I'm going to build my church on, that I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the one who brings water to you. I am the one who brings new life to you. Jesus is the rock. And he says the rocks, the cornerstone, is going to cry out. Well, this week, here's another challenge for you. Psalm 22. Open up Psalm 22 this week and read it. Okay, this is the Holy Week. Psalm 22 is going to explain this crucifixion of our Lord, even down to the point to where his bones were showing, and there's water and blood pouring out of his side, and they're gambling for his clothes. I look at the prophecies, and I'm thinking, unbelievable. Read it this week. But here's what he says in Psalm 22. Verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. He rules over the nations. Another prophecy. He's going to rule over the nations. It's not happening right now, except within our hearts. But one of these days, it's going to happen. He's our Lord and our Savior, our healer, and Jesus is our hope. And when we learn to praise him, our lives are going to be changed by the King of Kings. So I'm going to give you some practical ways that we can praise him. I believe that our country needs a good stirring, and we're going to be having a worship night here pretty soon, right? When is that? Last Friday of April. There's going to be, right here, there's going to be a praise night and worship night, and I'm going to challenge you to be here. We're just going to worship and pray. I'm kind of excited about that. I love those nights. I love getting alone someplace. Okay, some of you, if you have to get in your car, if you have to get in your house, I get the privilege of coming into the church when the auditorium is closed or nobody's in here, and I sing out my heart to the Lord. That's just what I've done for the last, I don't know how many years. I used to walk our land before we built a building back home, and I would go out to the cornfield, and I think the neighbors probably thought I was a bit on the weird side, but I would raise my hands up to just praise the Lord, and I'd just sing with all my heart. And tonight I couldn't sing because I thought I was going to lose my voice. I've been dealing with the allergy things, but I love to praise. I'm going to encourage you, find some place to praise. Find some place to lift up your voice. People, when they walk in on me, I was in Oklahoma over the summer. I got to preach down in July down at a church that needed a pastor. They were without one, so I went down for a month to preach for them. And hard to be apart from a wife for a month, but I went down there. Every night, into the auditorium, I'm praising, and somebody came in, and I was just singing my heart out, and it scared them, scared me, and we're all there. All right. Find someplace to praise the Lord. You need to let it out, singing and not in church. Praise the Lord. And number two, a way of worshiping, okay? The way of releasing the power of praise is in serving. I'm going to say it again. It's in serving. I find out that I get to praise Jesus in the way that we serve. And I think serving is so important. And I know that Riley and I know that Kate, they both could use your help right now. I love our staff. I love what's going on here. But we need children. We need people in children's ministry rolling up their sleeves. And guys, we need men and women. I have found that some of the best help that we had in children's ministry is coming from men, okay? Nothing against women, but when we have men in there also, those children do so much better, and they're hearing the gospel right there, okay? I think it's so important, and so I'm going to challenge you to do that. Just get involved. If you got the gift someplace else, sure, you can serve someplace else, but I think in the children's ministry is so valuable. So I'm going to challenge you. Talk to Riley or talk to Kate. And coming up on Thursday night, they're going to have a hard time, and they could probably use your help. Okay? Amen? Could I hear an amen? And yeah, use your help on that. Number three, and here's going to be, I can worship God, and some of you have the gift of it, in my giving. Pastor Joe did a great job at a generosity sermon, but we have people who have the supernatural gift of giving. You understand that I think I have the gift of evangelism and have a couple other ones. Those are given by God. Some have, and we had some back home that they had the gift of giving. They just did. You don't have to be wealthy to have the gift of giving. But if you have both those together, it is a great thing. And can I tell you, you can get so much done for the kingdom of God if you would just ask God. And here's what I would tell the people who had that gift. You just ask God for me to be a funnel that I will, you know, take care of all my needs. But God, I want to be a funnel for the kingdom of God. And I have seen God bless people so much when they finally realize that I can be used for the kingdom of God because I've been given the gift of giving. It's called worship. I'm going to challenge you to worship. The king who rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was not the king that Israel was looking for. They weren't looking for him. The king may not be the king that we think we need. I mean, Jesus may not be the king that you think you need right now, but I'm gonna guarantee that King Jesus is the king that you need. Amen? He is. Pledge your praise and your allegiance to Jesus alone. Not to politics, not to political parties or earthly kingdoms. I'm gonna pledge my allegiance to Jesus. Study the prophecies about Jesus. Recognize your daily need for Jesus. Ask for the Holy Spirit to be filling you up daily and release the power of praise. He didn't come to fix Rome. They missed it. He came to fix our hearts. He didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom. He came to offer us citizenship in an eternal one. He didn't come riding on a war horse to conquer an empire. He came riding on a donkey to conquer death itself. And so as you and I move through this holy week, I want you to remember that the same Jesus that rode into Jerusalem, knowing that he would be rejected, is the same Jesus who loves each and every one of you. He loves you. That the same Jesus who heard Hosanna and then he heard crucify, he's the same Jesus who hung on the cross and said, Father, would you forgive them? They don't know what they do. Would you just forgive them? That's Jesus. The same Jesus who was scrutinized for 4 days as the Passover lamb by his Father. He was perfect. He was a perfect sacrifice. He's the same Jesus who was found without blemish to lay his life down for you. So I want you to ask yourself, am I praising Jesus for who he is? Or am I praising Jesus for who I want him to be? Am I seeking a political savior or the savior of my soul? Is my allegiance to Jesus steady or does it shift by the end of the week in my circumstances? I don't want to be a Sunday palm-waving Christian, and by Friday I'm leaked out and I'm starting to act like the world, and I'm hoping you don't either. I'm hoping that you're wanting to be Hosanna all week long. He's worthy, not because of what he does for us, but because of who he is. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He's the Lamb that was slain, and he is the lion who was conquered.